the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you, precious Father, for tonight. Your name will be glorified yet again. Lives will be changed. Lives will be transformed. The devil will be defeated again. And the victory of the saints will be proclaimed to the glory of God the Father. Take all the praise, take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Consistent theme of the conference. I want to take our reading from the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 21. There are strategic insights and understanding that every believer in the last day must have. There are depths of knowledge and depths of spiritual understanding that the believers of the last day must come into. Christianity at this time, it's not a religion. And being part of the Christendom is not tantamount to being part of a Christian organization or a religious organization, I beg your pardon. Christianity last day is a move of the Spirit. And the reason is because the greatest challenge and confrontation will be seen in the last days. If the early apostles were persecuted, what the devil intends to do in the last day will make what happened to them a child's play. Because as we come to the end of the age, the devil knows that his time is very short. And so in the demonic realm, there's an urgency to thwart and to truncate everything the Lord is doing. And so anyone who names the name of the Lord at that time must go beyond religiosity and come into definite spiritual understanding. And this has nothing to do with secular knowledge or understanding. This has everything to do with spiritual insight and revelations granted by the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, women received their dead back to life. These were those that were not privileged people in society. So the kind of knowledge we are talking about is not a verbose knowledge that is born out of your mental inclination. It's actually a depth of revelation that the Holy Ghost furnishes your spirit with. And so that kind of knowledge is important in the last day because we are in a warfare age. We are in an age of contention between spirits, and we are in an age of contention between spirits and mortals. You cannot just call yourself a Christian for the title's sake. You must have a depth of understanding of what the Christian faith is all about. From the basics to the advanced. For you to be safe and insured in the last day. I want to share briefly tonight because it's the first night. And I hope that God will grant us the understanding we need to be awakened to our reality in Christ Jesus.
Metei makona. Bazanji toroba. Tei makona. Bazanji kunyabi. Tei makona.
You know, the first song, like you all know, is a statement that God is your help. And the second song is a testimony of your allegiance to God, that all you have belongs to Him. Well, I'm invincible. The devil can't bargain anything. Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing." Because all he has is God, and everything that belongs to him belongs to God. God is his help, and everything God gives him, he brings it back in return. So his life becomes a worship. That's one understanding you must have in the last day. The Christianity of things can no longer suffice. Because we are in a battle. Sometimes when we want to share these things, they are difficult because spiritual things are hard to explain. You don't know how to tell somebody that God is ready to supply all his needs. And at the same time, you are telling that person that all he has must be placed on the altar. Two things happening at the same time, and it looks as if they are contrasting themselves. But that's the invincibility of Christianity. And until we get there, we can't prevail. We are in a warfare age, and believers must be equipped. Let me read the scripture and come to the context tonight. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 21, it said, "And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." When you look at this scripture, it reveals to you a contention between mountains. And before he went into the dynamics of that contention, he revealed to you already the end. That the kingdom shall be the Lord. That means it's a battle between kingdoms. It's a battle between dominion. It's a battle between governments. Everything to take the prevailing dominion. The battle between the Lord and the battle between darkness and the demonic. Esau is used in this scripture to represent darkness. That's why he didn't say, "And the kingdom shall be Jacob's." Because it's not just a contention between Jacob and Esau. It's a contention between light and darkness. So in the last days, there will be contention between mountains. And just to make you appreciate what we are looking at tonight, let me explain what a mountain is before I proceed. A mountain is a place of authority and a place of dominion. So he's not just talking about helpless spirits who don't know what they are up to. He's talking about spirits that are well equipped for battle. Spirits that understand what authority and dominion is about. You remember in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, the Bible began to outline and it said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." Now you look at that scripture and you are considering. The Bible already told us that in the name of Jesus, we have authority over principalities and powers. Now what is bringing about the wrestling? I thought when you have authority, you just give a commandment, go and they go. Come and they come. The reason is because In the spirit realm, there are authorities and there are dominions. You cast out demons in the name of Jesus, but you don't cast out a principality. The reason to cast out demons is because demons are disembodied spirits. So because they don't have bodies, they need to possess people, they need to possess animals, they need to possess circumstances in order to find expression. And so when you come, you can cast them out because they don't have legal authority to possess those beings. So when you find somebody who is possessed of a demon, you can come on the strength of that person's will, cast out that demon. But when you meet a principality does not lack a body. A principality is a fallen angel. So he has his own body. He doesn't need to possess you to be able to exercise dominion. That kind of creature is an authority. That kind of creature is not a demon who seeks possession of an entity in order to find expression. That kind of being can enter a system and begin to manipulate that system. So when that kind of being wants to walk, he's not looking for a man to possess. He's looking for the media, because he knows millions of people are on the media and he wants to rule over them. So he will ascend the mountain of media. That kind of being is not looking for a girl to possess. He's looking for the academia. He wants to enter the educational system and rule the educational system. That kind of being is not looking for a boy to possess. That kind of being is looking for kings and governments. When he takes over the scepter of government, he can rule a nation. That's the kind of being that the Bible is referring to here. When he said on Mount Zion, when he's talking about saviors coming out of Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, he's talking about authorities and dominions. There is a prince that regulates the government in Adamawa State. That's why your governors cannot make road. It's not because the money is not there. It's not because the budget is not there. But that is a mountain and there is a prince sitting there. Before the governor can do what is right, he must break away from the dominion of that excellency. That being is not a demon. He's a prince in the spirit. If you think he's a demon you can just walk up to and say, in the name of Jesus, get out, you are joking. Upon these mountains, war take place. Battles take place. Because it is dominion versus dominion. The reason you see different forces fighting the academia and the educational system is because there are authorities there. These guys are excellencies in darkness. Excellencies are not only in light. That's why in Jude chapter 1, when the prophet was talking, the apostle was talking, he said, these men, they have no regard for excellencies. He said, when Michael was rebuking the devil, he didn't bring a railing accusation against him. He said, the Lord rebuke you. Because excellencies are not only in light. When you look at the world today, marriages are breaking up every day. It's beyond a demon possessing a gear or a board. It's a prince fighting the mountain of marital institution. For such operation, you need saviors to come out of Mount Zion. It's only the rise of saviors that can address those issues. It's only the rise of saviors that can sanitize the academia. It's only the rise of saviors that can sanitize the government. It's beyond casting out demons. It's the rise of warriors that can stand on the altar and say restore. And until the rod of their priesthood challenges the priesthood in darkness, it cannot come to pass. Christianity in the last day is not a joke. You know, people are not taught. So they take spiritual things at face value. When COVID came, the whole economy of the world was shut down. The casters of demons were shocked for the first time that this one is not a demon. This is a prince. The body of Christ had to gather together and intercede for months to be able to push him back into the abyss. Because there are excellencies that want to show up to sabotage the government of God. Because when they come, they are not looking for people. They are finding out the will of God for eternity and they want to stop it. Because these ones are contending with the purposes of God. That's why beyond being a Christian, you must rise to the rank of a savior. Christians are not relevant to the agenda of God. Hear me. In the last days, it's much more than calling Jesus your Lord. There are over 2.7 billion Christians in the world. But the agenda of God is suffering in Nigeria, is suffering in Africa, is suffering in Europe, because Christians are not relevant in the agenda of God. It is saviors that are relevant. The ordinary Christian is looking for food to eat. He's looking for the God that blesses him. But saviors rise and say, God, what is your plan for Canada? What is your plan for Kenya? What is your plan for Lagos? Whatever it takes, we will stand. Those are the kind of men that can engender deliverance unto Jacob. Listen, brothers and sisters. Christians cannot add value to God's agenda. That's why our number counts for nothing. Only saviors are relevant in God's agenda. Because there are excellencies in darkness. There are princes in darkness that want to sabotage God's plan for Mubi. There are princes in darkness that wants to sabotage God's plan for Adamawa State. And so if Adamawa would go forward, saviors must come from Mount Zion. What is a mountain? A mountain is a place of dominion, inhabited by dominions, either in light or in darkness. It's a place of authority. Please sit down. The faith preacher didn't teach you the dynamics of the spirit realm. They made you feel you can throw and pocket your hand and tell every spirit, get out. If it were so, why is the academic sector still in darkness? Why is the government still in darkness? Because not every spirit is a demon. There are certain spirits that Paul said we wrestle with, we fight. So there is a level of capacity required. That's why I say put on the whole armor of God. You wear the helmet of salvation. You wear the belt of truth. You wear the breastplate of righteousness. You wear the boot of the readiness of the gospel. You carry the shield of faith and you have the rhema word, which is the sword of the spirit. There is an armory that a warrior must wear to carry the stature of a savior. There are many Christians who are not clothed with the armor of God because they think every spirit is a demon. The time for every one of us to be clothed has come. That time has come. Because we are dealing with excellences. What is a mountain? Number two, it's a place of worship. Because these beings, hear me, they are not only dominions and excellences. The same way God crave worship, they also crave worship. And so when you find a mountain or a high place, what it does is that it summons the allegiance of a people through worship. That's why you find our girls dressing naked. Worship is not a song. You can worship through singing, but worship is deeper than a song. Worship is a testimony of absolute allegiance to a spirit. And so when you find yourself fornicating against the will of God, you are rebelling against God and you are worshiping the demon of seduction. When you find yourself dressing to seduce, you may not be singing a song, but in the spirit, that's a loud sentence of worship. And so, when a high mountain or a high place is instituted in a territory, you find the character of those spirits in the inhabitants. That's why you find bribery and corruption in Nigeria. Because one of the princes on the mountains of this nation is the prince of corruption. That prince will not go back until saviors rise. Churches may increase.
Our number may increase, but if saviors are not counted in our ranks, our numbers will count for nothing. Because even in our churches, worshippers of seducing spirits are seated. In our churches, worshippers of manipulating spirits are seated. Some of them are on the altar. Some of the messages we preach from the altar are worship to demons. Because they are messages of seduction and manipulation. When we need you to give money, we begin to twat and bend the scripture. At that moment, we are offering worship to another spirit. Even though we are called apostles, we can be worshiping God on this mountain that should be a hallowed ground. Can you take this word? In our families, our worship to demons. When a man wants to oppress his wife, he comes up with garbage. Garbage is like where we come from. Men don't do this. And he doesn't know he has brought his family under another government. It's a spirit. These beings are ruling every known institution in the world. Why do you think our music instrument, our music, our worship and music ministers today cannot go anywhere until the price is bargained? They are coming to sing. They think worship is a song. You invite a music minister to bless God's people, and then you are bargaining like a business. And that person comes to the altar, closes his eyes, and is lifting his hand, and he says he's worshiping God. That's a businessman. An agent of a demon. That's why you hear the best songs, but there are no revivers. Because those who are singing are worshippers of money. And the prince called Mammon. A mountain is a high place inhabited by spirits that call for worship. And worship can be in your dress code. Worship can be in your character. Worship can be in the things that motivate your action. What is a mountain? A mountain is an institution where the laws of a spirit are taught. That's why in Micah chapter 4 verse 1, he said, and in the last days, the house of God shall be upon the mountains of God. And he said, men of all nations will go to that mountain and say, teach us the way of the Lord. He said, for out of Zion proceeds the law. So everywhere the laws and the ordinances of a spirit is taught, that is a mountain. So a mountain is first of all a place of authority. That's why the scepter is on the mountain. The mountain is a high ground. That's why worship is provoked on the mountain. And the mountain is a place where the laws and ordinances of a spirit are taught. Because unless a generation obeys the law of a spirit, they cannot exercise government of a spirit. For our world to be sanitized, the inhabitants of the mountain of Jacob must emerge. He's not talking about those who are born on the mountain. He's talking about those who have been educated by the mountain. Because the Bible says, woe unto him who is at ease in Zion. So there are certain in Zion who are at ease. That you are in Zion does not make you a savior. A man who is a savior follows the protocols and the ordinances of the spirit that rules that mountain. In Psalm 24 from verse 3, he began to teach us the first criteria of saviors. Those who can stand on the mountain of God and say restore. There's a criteria. There's a credential. That's why not all of us are the same. Some of you have been wounded by faith preachers. This testimony of come, say what you want and have it is a joke. That's kindergarten Christianity. There are dynamics in the spiritual realm. Who shall stand upon the mountain of God? And who shall ascend his holy hills? He said, they that are of a clean hands. There is a requirement to be a savior. He said, him that comes to equity must come with a clean hand. Because the princes will check you. When you say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, be everlasting door, the door will not open. The question will be, who is he that gives that commandment? They want to find out who is talking, so that it's a credential. He said the first credential is that your hands must be clean. Your hands speak of your way of life. The things you do and how you live your life. You can be a Christian for 40 years. If you are still taking bribe, you are not part of the saviors. You are a Christian, you are born again. But you cannot participate in advancing the kingdom. You are not the people the nature is waiting for. That's why the Bible said even creation, Romans 8:19, is not waiting for Christians. It said it waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. What is the first criteria of a savior? Is purity, blamelessness, holiness. We hear Christianity and messages now that undermine the place of right standing with God. In fact, we reduce the doctrine of righteousness only to a nature. But what is the proof that you have a nature? If you live contrary to that nature. The proof that you have the nature of a man is that you live like a man. If you live like a dog and you claim you have the nature of a man, your nature is questionable. The first criteria of a savior is purity. Who shall ascend the mountains of God? Who shall stand upon his holy hills? Him that is with a pure hands, a clean hands. He said, it is one whose heart have not been lifted in vanity. You see why we sang the song we sang? Yeshua Hamashiach, Kominanakane, Yeshua Hamashiach, Kominanakane, Yeshua Hamashiach, Kominanakane. You want to be part of those God can depend on, like Paul, you have to beat your body and bring your body under subjection. Because there are many things your body is desiring that God is against. The first savior that was created was Adam. Adam went the way of an apple. And the moment he did that, he lost the power to regulate the thrones of heaven. He lost the power to bring the earth under the government of God. The moment you go the way of lust, you cease to be a savior. A savior is not a title. A savior is a life of purity and holiness. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27, Paul said, I beat my body. Because this body will not obey. So I force it to come under government. We run with Titus. We think Titus can change the world. The man that had the greatest impact had no title. The greatest impact. What was Jesus' title? He was never called an apostle. But he's the chiefest of all the apostles. He was never called a prophet, but he was the greatest of all the prophets. Never called a title. When they saw the things he did, they ascribed titles to what he did. His person was enough. Who are you? I am Jesus. But the life was a witness in the spirit. He said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I saw him fall. I know how we defeat princes in darkness. Why did you think when the prince came to him, they were not fighting? They began first with either they will be lost or there will be obedience. If you are the son of God, turn these stones to bread. He wants to test his lust, but his hands was pure. He was under government. That's a savior.
He doesn't follow the dictates of the flesh. He has beaten the flesh and brought the flesh under submission. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. If you are the Son of God, jump from this mountain. If you are the Son of God, bow before me. He was talking to us about mountains. Mountains provoke worship. Mountains provoke dominion. And in every of the tests, his tendencies were tried. But when they checked him, this man was holy unto God. He was a man of blazing purity. Even though there was no gymnastic or religiosity, the devil knows that this one is the Savior of the world. When he says, Savior shall come from Mount Zion, he was talking about holy men. Puritans. That's why Peter said, no testimony of the scripture is of any individual interpretation. He said, holy men of God. Holy men. That's a man defining himself. I am holy unto the Lord. That means no other spirit can run my system. Only the Holy Ghost runs me. Anything you try will not work. He said, holy men of God. They spake as they were carried by the Spirit of God. Those are saviors. We have too many Christians who don't know the way of saviors. Every time we gather in our number, we come to take things from God to waste on our lust. And the Bible is saying, for our world to be delivered, saviors must come from Mount Zion. Who are the men who can challenge the high places of darkness? Who are the men who can challenge the scepters of darkness? Who are the men who can alter the laws of wickedness? They are saviors. And saviors are Puritans. They are holy men. They are holy men. Did you read about Moses? God had to separate him from Egypt first to walk in his system. It took 40 years for God to chisel Moses and to walk on him. When Moses came back, the angry man became the meekest man on the face of the earth. Because it was not just 40 years of chips and camels. It was 40 years of reprogramming. And when Moses was refined and he became holy unto God, he sent him back to Egypt. And with a staff, just a rod, Moses brought down the greatest civilization of his time. Savior, rise from our generation. Please sit down. Like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall. Like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall. Like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall. So river flow, river flow, let it and oh, river flow. Your church once again, let it all it is. Hear me. Somebody is being purged by fire. You don't need to do anything. Just sit down. It's the hand of God. There's somebody that a river, is a fire, is running through his vessel. Because even as we are speaking, holy men are rising in our midst. And it's not only in this auditorium, even online, Father, by the Spirit, everyone with an open heart now, take that fire. Maraka fetelia tanas. Marikaba setake. Malekaniato varakani. Take that fire by the Spirit. So river flow. River flow. Ziba katobe legataya. We are tired of dead Christianity. We are tired of rituals. We want men that have power with God to rise in our generation.
Zakata Barakatosh.
In your church,
once again.
Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Hear me. Hear me. The people God is coming for, and the people God wants to walk with, you will be shocked that they are not apostles. By title, they are not prophets. By title, they are not preachers. By title, they are Puritans. When you have the power to walk in purity in this last day, you can be a widow, you are God's man. You can be a small girl, you are God's man. You can be an illiterate, you are God's man. People are running to be called bishops. Those titles mean nothing in the realm of immortals. When they come, they are looking. What substance are you made of? What is the quality of your vessel? They say, if we purge ourselves, if we are able to purge ourselves, they said, then we are vessels unto honor. Saviors are Puritans. Malehina, Vaide Kebate Rakata. Jalana Baruate Velakida Marekenote Apelia Tuala Valakada Susate. Alia Osh Kata Aperato Tetatiata Alia. Where are the holy men among us? Is a holy man of God. They spake as they were moved by the Spirit. They spake as they were moved. The prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. That's my signature as a savior. It's never about the title. When they check you, what are the stuff you are made of? This is why we travel from place to place, that men will be awoken to the standards of God and the patterns of the heavens. Mariva Hatea Kumelakana Zenakavi Dragavasa Branda Tolia Managata. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm seeing a sight in the Spirit. Some men are being kindled with a fresh fire. There is a burning in your spirit. There is a rekindling by the Holy Ghost. And so the fire that you lost, the Puritan dimensions of your spirit that has been compromised, I call it forth by the Spirit. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to move forward, but I must release this ordination. There are 7 people that are receiving the baptism of fire. God will launch them to the nations. They will burn and they will set millions on fire. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, such as I have, even those who are watching online, 7 of you, 7 candlesticks, now I light you. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. 7 of you, I light you up by the Spirit.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.